Hi, it's Diane, and I'm very excited for my new book, Daily Meditations for Visionary Leaders. Check it out on my website, visionsapplied.com/meditation. Now, on with the show.
If you are listening to this podcast, it means you are searching. Searching for someone who understands you, someone who gets you. You are yearning to be understood and to belong. Welcome to the Someone Gets Me podcast, where we help smart, talented, and sensitive people navigate an often insensitive world. Let's welcome your host, ambassador, author, speaker, and mentor, Diane Allen. Diane has the experience and knowledge to educate and inspire, as she has been there and understands your unique intensities and their challenges.
Hi, everyone. It's Diane again with Someone Gets Me. And today I have an interview for you that you are going to be so excited to hear. So make sure that you pay attention. I have with us a guest who has had an amazing journey herself. She healed herself from polycystic kidney disease in natural ways. And so as you can imagine, it really fueled her ability and desire to connect with her inner doctor, as she says, and to help her really live a more vital and amazing life. And I know her and I see her as this vital, bright energy. So it's a perfect description. She's an Ayurveda practitioner and therapist at Gutsier Living. And she supports so many people to eat great and be healthy, but also to not have to have that nasty feeling of not having energy. Because sometimes you can eat healthy, right? And you still don't feel so great. And this person can give you the solution of how to feel wonderful, even if you're trying to do the right thing and it's not working so well. She's also really passionate about healing our planet and helping moms and moms-to-be. And she does so many other amazing things to help people in conscious conceiving, prenatal care, postnatal care, or postpartum care, and all of these things to help the whole seasonal process of a woman's body. It's just amazing. She feels so strongly about all of these things, and she has a very successful business. She's a teacher and at Ayurveda School in Colorado, and she also has directed Edgar Casey's Association of Enlightenment in New York City. So we have with us today a skilled practitioner, an amazing visionary, and a talented businesswoman. So I would like to welcome to the show Shweta Palmer. Welcome.
Thank you, Diane. Thank you, everybody who's listening, for your attention and for your presence. And thanks for getting me. I love the title of this podcast because definitely when I was diagnosed with polycystic kidney disease and I said, you know, this is not going to make who I am or label me, people didn't get me. And many don't still.
Oh, that's the truth, right? So when they said you have this disease and this is how it's going to be, and you said, oh, no, I don't think so, and you came back with an alternate answer, they didn't know what to do with you, did they?
Yeah, and they still don't.
Well, great. So then this is the perfect podcast for you to be on, right? Because you know what it means to not be gotten. So I want to start off with the thing about your bio that really got my attention, and that is supporting the people who eat organic and healthy and they still feel like crap, that you help them regain their sustainable energy day to day, because everybody I talk to, myself included, can have that kind of situation going on. So I'm gathering that you have found a way to help kind of make, okay, I'm eating healthy and I'm exercising and I'm doing better and I'm not quite there yet. It seems to me you have some answers or some suggestions about things that can really help go to the next level for all of us who would like to do that. So will you share a little bit about how you do that, your ideas?
Yeah. It's very common, right? In our wellness where we are bombarded with Dr. Oz, Oprah, or whichever blog to tell you it's all about superfoods, right? It's like, eat kale, eat turmeric, eat chia seeds, eat goji berries. So we do it because we are committed to wanting that in our lives. We want to get through our day. We want to manifest some dreams. But somehow everyone feels they're doing the right thing, right? Eating eco, living eco, eating green, drinking 8 glasses of water, exercising, like you said, but you still feel like crap. And one of the reasons for that is why I love Ayurveda and nature-based medicine. So is because it gives it, it doesn't follow a one-size-fits-all process, right? So what we hear in the mainstream wellness world is, you know, have kale or drink 8 glasses of water. Well, you know what? Depending on how you're wired, that might be actual poisonous for you and you're not feeling well. And so here in Ayurveda and in my practice, we really, and in any nature-based medicine, the focus is gut health. Right. And so is this fire of life that I call it. It's just not your digestion. It's your fire of life. Is that burner working properly for who you are? Right. And so if that isn't, you're going to still experience, you'll feel like you're running around in circles. Right. In another few months, you're going to buy another type of superfood or protein powder. Or some other supplements. And because you're like, you know, I'm still not feeling good, you know, and so what else can I do is you read something, then you go order it online or go to the health food store, and then you try that. So it's like this hamster wheel that's happening in our wellness world. So what Ayurveda does is we work with the 5 elements of nature, similar to Chinese medicine, because it's all nature-based medicine. And the permutations of these 5 elements create your mind and body constitutions or your makeup. And according to that, and also we get through various diagnostic tools like the pulse, face analysis, just a Q&A, we get a sense of where the state of your gut health is. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. I've heard from people before that like the gut's like our brain. It's much more important in our body than people realize because of serotonin and digestion and all of that thing. Would it be correct to understand that if somebody's gut health was not really great, that we would hear comments like leaky gut? Is that the same kind of thing?
Well, there's so many. I mean, it goes from even just, you know, having like a little bit of loose motions, right? Versus beyond the labels. So unfortunately, we're not taught in our society and in our education system to be aware of how and to listen to our bodies and our minds. And so it's not just about IBS, you know, or colitis, you know, leaky gut, et cetera. It's just about even having a nervous stomach, right? I mean, if we're kind of worried about something or stressed out, people tend to kind of maybe go to the bathroom a little bit more, right? But why isn't your gut strong enough or anchored enough to help you manage the challenges of life, right? And so it doesn't have to have a label. Anytime you have a cramp or some even gas or acid reflux, which is very common also, that is like a red alert. But then we don't really pay attention to stop and really take some good steps, right, to even rectify that. You're like, oh yeah, it's okay, I just burped when I didn't even eat that much, or I have constipation, that's okay. You know, it's like we just write things off. And those are just the beginnings of maybe a labeled diagnosis that one might get later, like leaky gut. Because we have overtaxed our system so much that, you know, after a point, the body, then the cells, really, it's not just a organ, right? Or the body itself, it's the cells / universal energy / life force energy within us. That's like, hold up. You know, like I've been so unconditionally loving because the body's like, you know, you're so much better at charging your phone on a timely basis versus recharging your own mind and body. Really? I mean, we're so good at looking at, ooh, how much battery do I have on my phone? Oh crap, I only have, you know, 20% left, but and then you're going to immediately make time to charge that phone, right? Or there's a regular rhythm and consciousness that's like, oh, let me check my phone. Is it charged enough? But do we do the same thing for our minds and bodies, which are sacred vehicles and tools to fulfill our life purpose, whatever that may be in our lives? You know, it's not just about the body, it's about your thoughts and emotions. You know, one of the things that is very, we hear common, you are what you eat. Diane, have you heard of that a lot? Like, you are what you eat?
Yes, I've heard that a ton of times. And I don't know. I think it's true, but I also think there's more to it than that.
Absolutely. Yeah, no. So you're super aware and conscious and smart. So you know there's way more to that. So actually, that saying, you are what you eat, I feel is one of the most detrimental things one can believe. And so I like to say, you are what you digest and eliminate, right? And so The focus and the thought process comes to, like, I could be eating $1 million kale or my $1 million meal from Whole Foods or any vegan restaurant, but am I even digesting this properly? Because if you're not, it's going to create toxins. Metabolism is really key, and elimination. And so, you know, you talked about the gut-brain connection, right? Mm-hmm. And so recently in the functional medicine world and in the integrative medicine, we hear a lot about the gut microbiome and the gut and brain connection. Well, the ancient wisdoms of Ayurveda and the meditators and the seers of any nature-based medicine knew that approximately 10,000 years ago. Everything was based on the center. I mean, even look at our body. Where is your gut? It's the center of our body, right? Out of this, our amazing, miraculous organism that we are. I mean, it's amazing. We're all miracles. So it's at the center, right? Like, it's because it is the center of everything.
And so we live in a, this is so true. We live in a society though that acts as if our head is the center, because everything's so intellectual. And I work with people who are living from the neck up, and they don't even like think about the rest of their body. And I'm sitting here thinking of the chakras and the solar plexus chakras in the center, that's in the gut, and that's where motivation is. And all of that. And as you're saying this, I'm cracking up, because it's true. It's exactly true. And I never really quite thought of it in that way, because so many people are in their head. And I keep saying, it's not, the answer's not in your head. I know that. So the answer's in our center, in our gut.
Yes, in our gut. And even if we want to break it down even more, is in our enzymes and hormones and in our atoms, right? And so gut is something that the mind can grasp, right? They like stomach, small intestine, large intestine, but even more importantly is the enzymes and the hormones that are being secreted. See, everything is chemical at the end of the day. So you spoke about the chakra system, and you know, you spoke about, in Sanskrit, it's the Manipur chakra or the navel chakra. I'm not sure which system you fall in, what you call it, but you spoke about motivation, and the other part is the transformation energy that lives there, right?
Okay.
So when we talk about digestion, right, we're talking about fire, right? What does fire do? It transforms, right? And so these digestive enzymes, and it's not just digestive enzymes, they're our whole endocrine system, some of the key enzymes live in our gut. And so if we are not honoring and our gut health isn't up to par, once again, according to who you are as a unique human being, you're not going to be able to manifest whatever it is that you want in your life, let alone, you know, have the daily vitality, motivation, etc., right? And so that's why I call it the fire of life. So it's because we are transforming our thoughts, emotions, life experiences to get the lessons out of it, right? To move forward, to grow as human beings, whatever it is that you're seeking. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes perfect sense. And I'm sitting here thinking about how, and I've studied a lot of this, how there's still just all these pieces that when I listen to you and I think about the whole nature base and the rhythms and the seasons and all of that, it makes so much more sense to me and hopefully listeners too, to understand that there's way more going on than the surface things that we're taught in, you know, Western culture or in a culture that's over industrialized, I guess, and where everybody's separated from their bodies really like consciousness wise.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's true. I mean, and I think it's important as practitioners, not just Ayurvedic practitioners, any of us in this field is to really make it practical, right? So when we talk about rhythms and seasons, now how the hell does nature-based medicine look within us, right? Because it's all about looking within, right? And so oftentimes in our society, we are like, oh, let's go nature. Everyone feels great in nature. May it be the ocean, the forest, the desert, whatever space, nature, natural space or environment, your own backyard, earth, right, soil. But now it's not an external thing, right? Like the forest lives within us. The ocean lives within us. Mm-hmm. So all of these elemental energies are within our mind, body, and spirit. And so now how do we work with these rhythms and the elements within our mind and body? It's not just like, oh, I'm going to just have to go to the forest. You can actually access that within you. And that's the amazing, beautiful wisdoms that and the knowledge that is given to us that we apply as practitioners to come up with unique, individualized plans for people. And so, for example, let's just take the example of these rhythms, right? So, Diane, you just spoke of a type of rhythm. You spoke of seasons. Right. What else do you feel? What other kind of examples can you think of rhythms?
I know a rhythm in my own life is my sleep rhythm, being awake and being asleep. And there's sometimes I don't need much sleep. Sometimes I need more sleep. Sometimes I'm sleepy in the middle of the day for reasons I can't see. So I think sleeping and awaking is a big rhythm, you know, and movement and quiet, you know, I think those are big rhythms that we all have.
Yeah, that's one for sure. Like that's very practical and a daily habit, right? The more we focus on daily rhythms and daily habits, the more benefits we're going to get and also less heady and we'll be less in our heads. Inhale, exhale, breathing is a rhythm, right? Inhale, exhale. When we walk front, back, it's a rhythm. Night and day, rhythm. Seasons, obviously, a rhythm. Moon cycles, rhythm. So everything in life is based on a rhythm, right? We've seen, you know, different milestones in people's lives. That's also a type of rhythm. Women go through a rhythm, right? Moon cycles, menopause, right? These are all beautiful, sacred passageways in different ways. So now, what to make it really practical? Nature works on a rhythm. The sunrise, sunset. The sun doesn't rise one day at 7 a.m. and then the next day, let's say at 11 a.m., right? It's not erratic. There's a rhythm through the seasons of when it rises and it sets, correct? Now, how does these nature's, quote unquote, nature's rhythms manifest within us? That the enzymes, these very micro chemical reactions that happen in our mind and body and spirit and at a soul level also, but that's a very vast conversation as well. they work on a rhythm. When these inner rhythms, the rhythms of these enzymes and the rhythms of these hormones are disrupted by our choices and decisions that our mind makes and our ego makes, we experience imbalances. May it be fatigue, may it be a cold, may it be mental confusion, may it be a lack of direction, may it be procrastination, may it be motivation, you name it. Because everything works on a rhythm, once again, it is one, it's so important to reinstate rhythm in your life. And now how does one do that?
What I want to ask is, which is where I think you're headed, is, okay, so if myself or a listener was going, okay, this is making sense. How do I get started? What do I do? Where, you know, like in Western medicine, you go in, you get a prescription and a diagnosis and then whatever that goes into. So we're talking about something very different than that, thankfully. If there was somebody who wanted to get back on the rhythm, like I've been through all this stress lately, you know, with the flood and the tire and, and so like, okay, I'm probably out of balance because I've been tired all day and I'm not usually tired. So, okay, I'm imbalanced and I'm out of my rhythm. God's true. So what would I do? Or what would anybody do if they wanted to get started in seeing it differently?
Yes. This is not stressed enough at all, actually, I feel, in our world. Maybe in consciousness circles even, in energy healing circles, mainstream wellness circles even, right? Like people are, like I said, they're just focused on superfoods and supplements and all of these things. But none of that's going to give you benefits if these enzymes and hormones aren't secreting properly, right? And on a rhythm basis.
Right. And it is much bigger than all of that. And in fact, my model of recovery and life I teach is called MEPS, mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, social. It's not mind, body, spirit. That's old news. That doesn't cover
yeah.
it. And I say that all the time. And so what I'm hearing you say is that if I overlaid Ayurvedic nature medicine on top of that belief, then now we're getting closer because there's so many facets in each one of those. And they all play with each other. Like they all affect each other, right? So
yeah,
everything affects everything, right?
It's all the interconnected. And you know, it's like, it's weaving, right? It's one, it's interconnected, it's interchangeable. Like it's all, it's a dance between everything. And so what the beauty of it is, we don't have to think too much if we are following nature's rhythms within us. So life becomes so much more simplified. And honestly, you don't have to be hopping from one modality to another eventually. Because to me, nature is truth. Nature doesn't lie to us. You know, it's not mental. It's organic and it's natural. It's truth, right? It's like ultimate truth. If we follow what she's teaching us, right, and living accordingly, like a lot of our ancestors did in the olden days, we could be very healthy, vital, fulfilled beings, right? And it's a life journey, of course. It's never going to be perfect. But the point is that nature is showing us these lessons. So now going back to the practical tips and lessons of what you asked earlier, like how do we start making this happen, right? To avoid any, to be preventative, and not just to be preventative, but to start, even if you have any type of imbalance or disorder or disease, this is to me one of the key foundations. You don't even have to pay a practitioner like myself to do a consult if you start doing this.
Okay, so this is a tip. This is what you're about to say is a tip that like me or anyone listening could start here and then go from there, right?
Yes.
Okay. What is it?
Right. So number one, so an example of following a daily rhythm is start to have regular meal times, right? So especially if you're an entrepreneur or you do have the privilege to be able to, set your breakfast time, lunch time, and dinner times like 8 o'clock or between 11 and 12 p.m. for lunch and dinner time before sunset around 6 p.m. And once again, this is not about rigidity, okay? We are just honoring nature's rhythms and the divine timing of these enzymes. And we're honoring their sacredness. So because they are strongest at certain times, right? Just like the sun, it's the strongest around noontime. And that's when it can help you metabolize your food more properly. And once again, not just food, but your life experiences. And so having a rhythm on your meal times can be very, very helpful because once again, you're starting to set a rhythm, right? And you're not overtaxing your digestion, right? Your digestive enzymes, because you're like, okay, they have memory, right? Even though you, one may not be following this and eating whenever and however, whatever it does, it's a, but they have eternal. That's what they're wired. They know they have that memory. So once you take that action and intention and make a decision and commit to that, they can be, they can feel honored more, and they'll start to also function. They can do their job optimally. See, one of the other things that's underlying around this rhythms concept is really honoring that the, there is a cellular intelligence at play all the time, right? The body knows what it needs to do. The cells know what it needs to do. I mean, come on, we're miracle beings. Not even twins are alike, right? So there is a amazing, miraculous, beautiful energy, universal force at play that exactly knows what we do. What's been messed up is that we think we're the doer, right? We think we're doing everything in life. When at the end of the day, we have really no control. We do take actions, obviously, but at the end of the day, there's other forces at play. And so what we are doing when it comes to our vehicles of using our mind wisely and our body wisely to fulfill our life purpose is we are creating recreating the optimal environment and culture for this intelligence slash divinity slash universe, however you identify in your philosophies, to work optimally.
Okay, so that makes perfect sense. So rhythm of mealtime. So I have some people, so I have some people that are trainers and athletes, and they eat 6 or 8 meals a day, small ones. Other people I know eat 3 meals a day, other people 2. So this is that part of it would be working with somebody or working with yourself really to see what rhythm your body itself really needs. Because like you said, it's not one size fits all.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, there's definitely nutritional guidelines and rules and that kind of thing, but there's also paying attention to your own body. So what my trainer might eat or want to eat and his pace and rhythm is not going to be mine, because we're all unique individuals. And so it's about listening within ourselves, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, it, the thing is, when you follow rhythms, that in, it's connected with intuition, right? And intuition is about listening to your mind and your body. For example, that's just an example of setting rhythms. So what I would suggest for those like trainer professionals, et cetera, is make your main meals, right, about during those type of timings, because that's when your enzymes are the strongest to process things.
Got it. But right.
You may find, which I have found in, because I do have gym type people in my, as clients and trainers as well. Our concept of in Ayurvedic nutrition is very different. We don't do calories, proteins, et cetera, because we are letting the body and the mind work naturally and do what it does. So you don't then need as much, because you have enough energy naturally. Get whatever it is that you're done, and everything is aligned, right? Properly more. And the energy is moving through you, so you don't even need that many meals. And it's, eating is quite overrated at a point when you're doing various practices and living in a more conscious way. And so it's just once you start practicing and doing things, you will notice so many different changes, because you are truly honoring these secretions that are happening. So another big rhythm is sleep time. As you know, in our very high tech world, especially with Facebook and everything being, our phones being everything being on it, you know, and it's easy. People are in bed just scrolling, right, on their Facebook feeds, Instagram, whatever social media platform. It does really impact sleep, because before you know it, it's like you spent 2-3 hours and it's 1 a.m., you know. And it's really, it's really horrible. I think it's a type of cancer, That's how I describe it, because the impact of that is not studied and reported enough. But I think we don't need studies. We if you just ask yourself, what is your level of focus and concentration these days? Your ability to, you know, relate to others, your own temperament, you know, you will find the answers there. And so sleep time is really important. So how is sleep time connected with gut health? When I look at a clock, I don't see numbers. To me, it's a biological clock. It's a biological clock. I see there's certain elements in nature that are more active during certain times of the day than others. So now around 9:30 p.m., 10 p.m., no matter what part of the world you are, that's when the liver's dharma and its life purpose is like, all right, hey, it's my turn now. It's my turn to help this beautiful being to detox from this beautiful being's day's experiences. However, if you're not in a restful state and your energy and your attention is maybe you're eating at that hour when the liver is like, hey, it's time for me to detox, not just food, but for the day's experience, so I can help you build some strong blood, and blood is life, right? And just overall detox all our systems. I'm quite generalized. I don't want to get too clinical here. But if we are on Facebook or working, reading, just all these mental activities, the liver can't do its job properly, which means that you miss the boat. The liver can't do its job properly at that time. And then you wake up feeling really sluggish and heavy because you're eating way too late when it was time to sleep. And then the body doesn't have proper mechanisms and processes to be able to process your food or your thoughts.
So then the liver, when it doesn't get to do its job.
Yeah.
Kind of has to hold on until the next opportunity. And if the next night you don't let it do its job, I can see a buildup of cascading issue.
Well, right? Yeah. You know? I mean, people get cancer and autoimmune diseases.
Right. Well, because right? The body has to find a way to survive. And if we as humans don't cooperate, then it creates one dis-ease or one issue after another, because it's just trying to live and make it. And so we get to pick how difficult we're making it for our own being, for our own body, and our own essence, right?
It's a choice and decision that we're all making. If you pause if you're in bed by 10, your body will start to naturally wake up, and you can do whatever you felt you needed to finish off the next day. And you're going to be more focused, because whatever you thought was going to take an hour to finish, you'll probably complete in 10 minutes, you know? Mm-hmm. And how amazing is that? To me, that's real time management right there, right? It's like, it's because you're managing your own energy better, and that affects time management.
And so you're paying attention more, and you're managing your own energies. It's mental, emotional, and physical, and spiritual connection. And so therefore, all of us, if we did these kinds of things, would find us being much more connected and alive and productive and realizing whatever it is, whatever our heart's desire is in the world, whatever our mission is, we would be able to realize and live in that space a lot easier, because everything's cooperating now. It's kind of like there's an ease and a flow to things versus having all this stop, start junkiness, a clunkiness, or whatever happens based on whatever choice somebody's making, which I think is brilliant.
So yeah, and you know, I mean, just wait to quickly say, clarify what you said. Well, the liver can't then do its, you know, job, or it does it because it's so unconditionally loving to us. It does do what it has to do, but it can't do it efficiently,
right?
And it's stressed. That decision and habit causes more stress on the liver, because it still will do because it's unconditional. However, it can't do it properly, which is why autoimmune, chronic fatigue. Who the hell wakes up vibrant early in the morning these days? It's really, you know, unfortunately quite rare when it was very opposite, you know, long time ago. So yeah.
Right, exactly. See, I imagine it that it's either working or it's not working very well. And so I appreciate you saying that part about how efficiently it's doing it. Like, it's still got to do its job, but it doesn't get to do it well.
Yeah.
And so, you know, again, nature medicine is not as black and white as we're trained to look at things in this culture, because I see it as a gradient, but yet I noticed in my speech, it wasn't as much of a gradient as I see it. So that is a really cool awareness. Thank you for saying that. It's like, yes, I get it.
And I think another tip, sorry, go ahead. Did you have a question?
I was going to ask you for another tip of
Perfect. Yeah. So something really easy and practical that really honors and strengthens our gut health. And once again, gut health is not just about your GI tract. It's your life, right? So it's your life force energy. Is, I would say, if you're at your desk, it's lunchtime or any meal, pause, you know, get away from your computer. Don't eat in front of your computer or check email on your phone or anything else to do catch-up tasks, right? Or texting, right? Because the way I see with my clients and anything, it's like, ooh, I have lunchtime. But then the lunchtime is like used to like catch up on all these other mini tasks that you feel, you know, that need to get done. But once again, the energy is being detracted. We're not fully present. We don't even taste our food these days. So another tip is to pause. Something simple as just pausing to really taste your food, you know, get away from your like normal environment, maybe your cubicle, maybe your desk, whatever it is, chew your food. Like, don't just put it in your mouth and swallow it. Chew it. When you chew it, the salivatory gland sends signals to our brain to then secrete other enzymes in our gut, right? And so these days we bypass the mouth. And this is like a huge organ of digestion in our mouth, is our mouth. I always say it's the eyes when you go food shopping, but that's another conversation. But we'll keep it simple, and it's in the mouth, right? And so chew your food, pause, put the phone down, get away from your laptop, and just pause and chew.
So you're reminding me of a workshop I do all the time called Honor the Pause. It's just, you know, honoring your body, honor the pause.
Yes.
It's all going to be okay. We don't have to go from one thing to the other. We're not machines, and we're not meant to operate like machines. And so when we stay with our flow and we honor that, really, then everything works better.
Yes. I think the other pause, to keep on talking about pause, is I think we have to pause on the way we think. Well, at one level, people don't think anymore, I feel. People just read something on a blog and they do it without thinking. It's important to experiment, I think, and explore and try something. But then think, be aware of how you're feeling, and then think to see if this is a good fit for you or not, right? And so what I encourage people is something called adjective thinking. And so what that means is, instead of, for example, the superfood of chia seeds or kale. All right, let's take kale because it's common and people eat it all the time. Adjective thinking. Now, what adjectives come to mind, Diane, when you think of kale?
Green.
Mm-hmm.
The consistency of it, rough kind of. It's crunchy. I like the taste of it.
Great. Yeah. So that roughness, that it's a pretty tough leaf, right? It's not like cilantro or coriander, like really delicate, you know, that's also green, right?
Cilantro. It's rough. It's green. Rough. Kale is rough.
Yeah. Now, you know, if you're not able, that toughness needs to be processed, right? So if you're not chewing, it's going right down when your enzymes are kind of weak in general because of all these other lifestyle habits as well, not just food. It's going to have a hard time processing it. So if you're feeling heavy, let's say one day, you know, like you were just saying, you had a pretty stressful last day or two. And so under that stress, obviously everything is stressed, right? Your whole organism in general because of these experiences. Even though, of course, with your beautiful practices, you're able to manage it and have a beautiful perspective on it, you're not getting all riled up, and it is what it is kind of attitude. Great. But, you know, in the moment, there may be some stress and contraction, which also affects our cells. So on those type of days, with anyone on stressful days, you want to have some easy to digest foods, right, that aren't heavy in nature, but light. So instead of having, let's say, a piece of meat, which is tough and heavy, you may want to, what's the opposite of heavy?
Something that's light. And what I was thinking about it is, I didn't really want anything heavy while I was going through all that stress. I ended up drinking some of my green shakes because they just taste really good and they've got all these greens and it makes me feel more nourished.
Yeah.
And soothing to my stomach. And so that's what I reach for when I have a lot of stress.
Wonderful. Yeah. And it's liquidy. So the system doesn't have to process too much because it's already stressed in general, right? And so anything liquidy is going to be, and this is once again a generalization. There are a lot of liquids that are heavy in nature as well. But, you know, then there's ways to lighten it up. But the point being here is if we start thinking in adjective terms, if you're feeling heavy, you want to feel lighter, you're not going to put in more heavy thoughts or heavy experiences or heavy foods into your organism. Because heavy plus heavy equals what?
Heavier.
Right. So we're going for the opposite here, right? So we want to apply the law, adjective thinking plus the law of opposites. Does that make sense?
Yes. Not only are you making sense, this is like an epiphany moment for me, everybody, because I have been trying, and I said it earlier today, to understand this Ayurveda thing for years and years and years. I understand pieces of it, and I hear what people say, and I understand it all, but I can never repeat it, and I don't know how to apply any of it. But when you just did this adjective thinking with me and then said, well, if you want to feel lighter, have the lighter thing. That was like, duh, no-brainer. But yet you're the very first person in all these years, and I'm talking for years, I've been trying to sort out how to think about Ayurveda in a way that I can wrap my mind around and manage.
Yes.
Because I'm like, I know I have this draw to learn more about it and get in and see, because I'm very into rhythm myself, but I didn't know that either, really. And when you just said that, I'm like, oh my gosh, epiphany of all epiphanies. This is amazing. Everybody gets to witness it with me. I'm like, so I have goosebumps. This is so exciting. Because I could never sort out how to tell what to do with what. Like I got the ideas of the heavy and the light and the cool and the hot. I got that. But I didn't get how to address it or like, what do you do?
Yeah.
But that just made that just made all the sense to me in the world. So, oh my gosh, I am so happy that I asked you to be on this show because I was, oh my God, I'm okay. All right. Let me compose myself.
Yeah, so and you know, you're right. Like, you know, like yourself, like so many people, like our listeners and readers and so many people that they love Ayurveda. They're like, wow, this is it. However, the websites and the quizzes that people take online to see what doshas they are. And then these lists that they see online or in books, like, oh, if I'm kapha, if I'm pitta or I'm vata, I can only eat this. And it's not true. Ayurveda is not restrictive. It's not, it's life. It's a way of living. It's a way of self-healing. They're guidelines to just help people balance themselves in the moment. But once you know your constitution through this adjective thinking even more, right? These five elements of earth, water, fire, air, and space, we didn't go into dosha theory too much here, but that's okay because people dive into doshas, but just like yourself and a lot of other people, it's too much and it doesn't make sense because the basic foundation of adjective thinking needs to be learned and practiced first before you go into doshas.
Well, this makes a lot of sense to me. So I will be practicing this and then all the dosha things people were trying to teach me might start to make sense. I think it probably will because my brain just lit up like, oh my, that's what they're talking about. Why didn't they just say it like Shweta just did? It would have made much more sense. You know, would have saved me 20 years of agony, but I got it now.
Yeah. And it's a living wisdom, right? As any practice, the more you practice the adjective thinking and very keep it simple, just look around. And then instead of being tree, just start doing adjectives. When you look at your computer screen, don't say screen. Start just wiring yourself in adjectives and then applying law of opposites, and you can already be in a healthier state.
Oh, that is great. So I have one more question before we talk a little bit about your work and, you know, and what you are offering people and what you would like them to know about you business-wise. And that is, I'm assuming this, so you can correct me if I'm wrong. I wrote down all the rhythms that you mentioned, the mealtime rhythms, sleeping, pausing, and I wrote down discernment because that's the critical thinking. Pay attention to what you're hearing. It's, you know, make sure it's for you. And of course, adjective thinking, because that's genius. And I have a lot of people that I work with and that listen to this show that their number one issue they report is overthinking. The brain racing at night, constantly thinking all the time. In fact, my retreat this year, I do an annual retreat for 3 days, is called Take Me Out of My Head. So I'm imagining that we could safely say that if all of you overthinkers out there started doing these things that Shweta just mentioned, then that would give you a good start to see where to go from there. And maybe they could contact you or contact another practitioner to help them develop it more. But it would seem that if they started these things before they actually called somebody, they're kind of got a little bit of rhythm going and they might be able to get better results. Would that be something that would be accurate?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're one, someone's a type of person who's just, you're not gonna just do it by yourself, then don't wait, right? Just get help and get support. Because sometimes, you know, if one is heady, they want to learn more, right? And they want to get the perspective and they're bored with their own head. So they want to get someone else's head and perspectives and thoughts. So
that's perfect. Okay, so what if somebody's listening to you right now and they're thinking, I can relate to her. I could talk to her. I would want to talk to her. Do you do individual work with people like on Zoom or electronically, or do they have to be in your city? Tell us a little bit about how somebody could reach you and the kind of work that you offer. Somebody who might be hearing our conversation and go, oh my, I want to talk to her.
Yeah. And so Guts Your Living, which is me, digesting food, thoughts, and emotions for bold, intuitive living. That's what Guts Your Living stands for. We're based in New York City. However, we do online consults because I have clients all over the world because, you know, the diagnostic tools, there's so many that we use that can be done online as well. So I think what I love about the way my approach is beyond this adjective thinking to make it really accessible for people is I really focus on the natural intelligence of our systems. And so I really keep it really direct and simple. And I think for me, as a my unique approach in Ayurveda is resetting this and recreating these inner rhythms. So one of my kind of favorite program is a 45-day reset plan. And so here, what we're doing is 45 days, we're starting to, once again, I talked about creating that culture or environment in our systems so that a divinity can work optimally again. And so, of course, you after years of whatever we've been doing and choices, we're not going to fix it in 45 days. But the point is we're creating the foundation, right? If we don't have a strong foundation, then the house crumbles, right? Or we stay in these vicious cycles, belief systems. So we want to reprogram ourselves. And so these chemical reactions can be reprogrammed and starts to reprogram in 45 days. So that's my kind of signature program that I love playing with clients and seeing what they, it's not just about, the beautiful part is because life is a mystery is that people come to me with certain goals because that's only what we want, our desires and what our mind naturally can grasp. It's not a bad thing, we're humans. But the beautiful thing is because these chemical reactions start to shift, they start to see other changes in their lives when that wasn't their goal. Like I have a documentary filmmaker a few years ago, she came with a hernia ulcer situation. It was really bad. They were basically asking her to go surgery. And she was like, you know, it really doesn't feel right for me to do surgery. So this is my last thing, Ayurveda. And so she went on my 45-day plan and she started to rethink things and she didn't need surgery. But the, as a documentary filmmaker, she was trying to get her films funded, right? As a political documentary filmmaker, it's really competitive, as we know. But what she didn't come to me for help to get her documentary funded, right? That's not my expertise. But because these other changes started happening within her organism, the vibrations started happening outside as well. Does that make sense?
That's making perfect sense. Yeah. And so you will work with people. And so your 45-day program is individual work with you, right?
Yes. And then I have various group programs, but those happen throughout the year at various seasonal times, especially spring and fall. But all of that is on my website, which is www.gutsierliving.com.
Perfect. And I will put gutsierliving.com's link in our show notes, along with a recap of a lot of the things we talked about today for people to look at and seek you out. And make sure that if you're interested and you want to talk to Shweta more, or you have more questions, that you reach out to her and let her know that you heard her here. And also make sure you get your needs met, because you have somebody here who's willing to really support you in a vibrant, alive manner. So that would be really awesome. And I want to thank you for being on our show today. It's been a great time listening to you. And I had my epiphany I've been looking for 20 years. Yay, right? And so all of you, I want to remind you that you're all rock stars. Everything is beautiful. You are perfect just the way you are. And remember to keep your face toward the sun so the shadows fall behind you, and step into who you are, because you are gorgeous.
Are you tired of searching for someone who understands you? Join our Facebook group, Someone Gets Me. In this group, you will be able to connect with others who are intense, sensitive, smart, talented, and wanting to be understood. Diane shares her insights and teachings, and you can connect with others. Join today.